You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Matthew Campiuti, Chief Executive Officer of Walls Construction, one of Queensland's largest independently owned industrial infrastructure groups. Joining the company in 2013 as Chief Financial Officer, Matthew became the CEO in 2018, which now sees him working alongside the company's shareholders to lead the future strategy of the business with a focus on ensuring Walls continues to be responsive to the ever-changing landscape of the resources sector. Welcome, Matthew, to the program.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks very much for having me.
Let's sort of go back to the beginning, because as I said in that introduction, you started with the Walls Group in 2013 as Chief Financial Officer. So I suspect through the years and what I see from also a lot of your background that you've worked within the resource and construction sector, but it's all about numbers for you.
That's right, Kieran. That's certainly my background. A chartered accountant by background, started off at Ernst & Young, one of the big four accounting firms. And after leaving EY, I've pretty well always been in either the resources or mining / construction sectors since then. And come across in 2013 when I got back from overseas, joined Walls, and 4 or 5 years later, I was appointed their CEO. So it's an exciting time for the business and exciting time for me personally as well.
So as I said, just as we'll sort of go back a little bit, what attracted you? I suspect you grew up in central Queensland, did you?
I'm actually grew up in Toowoomba originally, yep. And then moved to Brisbane for university. So I'm actually based, we've got a Brisbane office. Whilst I spend a fair bit of time in Gladstone, Mackay region, I'm actually based in our Brisbane office. But certainly come from a background where I've always enjoyed, following mining resources companies and worked with a number of them over the years, and then joining Walls in a different category of the contractor, but still very much linked to the mining and resources sector.
So what's your attraction there within the sector?
Oh, I've always found it fascinating, from a, not just a numbers point of view, but just how it operates. I've spent some time out on the mine sites, various places in central Queensland and also over in the west as well for a short period of time as well, and just been very intrigued and fascinated how it all works, how big it is, how impressive the work our people do, and that certainly extends to the guys at Walls Group, and I've always just taken an interest in that area.
Well, as you said, you started at Ernst & Young and then Felix Resources Limited, I think, and then Green Energy International Limited, BHP Billiton as well, so one of the big boys. And then you came to the Walls Group. So what attracted you to the Walls Group?
Well, I was actually in between contracts after just getting back from the UK, actually. So it was just an opportunity, a chance meeting. A friend put me in touch with the guys at Walls. There was an opportunity to come across. And as I said, I'd always been more on the client side, on the owner's side. And this was an opportunity to have a crack at the contracting side of it, and one that I've really enjoyed.
And okay, you said you enjoyed that the contracting side. What do you find enjoyable?
Oh, look, it's very challenging. It's highly challenging, Kieran. The clients these days have high expectations on all contractors, and I think I enjoy that challenge. They are demanding, but they genuinely work with you as well. And I think it's just a rewarding, aspect to it. And it's diverse. We work across a number of different commodities, a number of different clients, and it's always different. Every day is different. So I guess there's a little bit more variety there than just, you know, working on say one mine site or one particular project. And I think that's part of the attraction.
So as you said there, the challenge, and you have sort of explained a little bit of that challenge and working with a number of clients in a different type of projects. What is your interest there in relation to, like, I suppose, explain some of those projects that you do work across? And it would be interesting to be able to, you know, all of a sudden you might be looking at a project and go, my God, what the hell do you do with that? And then investigating that. But what's your interest there?
Yeah, so we have quite a broader range of services, and you know, we'll do anything from a $300 blast and paint job, for say, you know, just blast and paint a spool for say an alumina refinery client, all the way up to a greenfield project where we will build, you know, for example, a brand new copper processing facility, which we did a number of years ago. So we go all the way right from a very small job to a big job, and I guess it's just that diversity in projects and feeling part of it, but, you know, particularly, you know, a processing plant or, a greenfield opportunity like that is exciting. It's exciting for not only the company, but for the people involved in it. And, you know, we were a part of, you know, a processing plant a number of years ago now. And I guess we were afforded the opportunity with a number of our clients to do some of their larger capital projects and you know, their key projects for them and also key projects for us. So it's exciting to see that go well and we can perform the work, you know, number one, safely, but two, also, you know, on time for our clients.
And as I said in the introduction, so from CFO to CEO, now I suspect a chief financial officer also requires strong leadership, but I'll suspect that you're a strong leader within the Rolls Group and you have to be as a CEO. But how do you handle that sort of leadership, and what are your values that come across with that?
Yeah, I think for me, I just haven't changed to, you know, the person I am. You know, the role hasn't changed me, and for me, I feel I've always been a very approachable person. I feel I'm down to earth, and I think I can talk to anyone within the company. You know, I obviously recognise my limitations when it comes to operations. I'm not a qualified engineer, and so I certainly let the engineers do their side of things, and I let, you know, the operations guys run their operations. But I guess where I can add value, or where I can see, you know, some points around our strategy, or if there's anything from a financial or risk perspective, that's where I can probably add some more value. So they're probably the key areas I focus on, and yeah, just being a sounding board for all our senior managers and all our staff, really. As I said, I like to think I'm approachable, and anyone within the business can come and talk to me.
Okay, so let's get on to Wohls then, and you have explained a little bit of what they do, but explain again what and there's a lot that you do, but what are some of the main projects, I suppose, that you're involved in and the work that you do?
Yeah, so I guess we're a privately owned business that provides, you know, industrial construction and maintenance services for, you know, a range of clients, you know, predominantly in the mining and resources sector. We have a large presence in Gladstone, and that's where our that's where the business was founded. We're in our 46th year this year, so we've been around a long time. We service, I guess, all the heavy industrial sites around Gladstone. We're currently working in the Bowen Basin, or have previously worked in the Bowen Basin, on a number of BHP coal mines. And we work in a number of the coal ports, whether that's Hay Point or Dalrymple Bay, or with the Gladstone Ports Corporation as well. So, you know, and supporting those site projects is our fabrication workshop and our industrial blast and paint facility as well. So that's probably, going back to that earlier example, we can sort of do a project anywhere from $300 all the way up to several million dollars.
Well, as you say, you can do a project anywhere. You also got a couple of projects I see in New South Wales and also in Papua New Guinea in the Northern Territory.
Yeah, over the years we've worked in a number of remote locations, and that's something that the business has always done. Yeah, going back a long time. We're currently only working in the Central Queensland region, and obviously, COVID is a big part of that. But over the years, we've certainly done some projects, yeah, as you said, at Lihir Island, at Papua New Guinea, and certainly, yeah, remote places in Northern Territory, Groote Island, and down south as well. So certainly been, you know, our employees have been to plenty of places all around Australia.
As you said there, COVID, and of course, when we first started this podcast in 2020, it was actually it was at the start of COVID, I think. And so we've asked the question a lot of the times to a lot of project companies of how they handle COVID. How's the company handled COVID itself, and also the reaction from your workers?
Yeah, touch wood, we've been relatively unimpacted by COVID, I guess, from a infection standpoint. Our clients have been very good. They've been very accommodating. I think we're obviously seeing now is probably the most challenging time for us as a business with the latest variant. And, you know, we're in that stage where certainly now every week it seems there's several people obviously are catching this latest variant, which is causing us a few headaches. But by and all, we've been very fortunate, and our clients have continued to provide us with opportunities. And yeah, we've been able to continue to provide, you know, pretty well consistent full-time work for our workforce. So we're certainly, you know, in a much more fortunate position than other states, particularly the southern states. So yeah, we're not through it just yet, but we're certainly in a much better place than a number of our other companies down south. So by all, it's been okay. Obviously, there's been some issues around. Delivery of materials has been a bit challenging, coming from overseas with some shipping delays. But overall, we really can't complain too much.
I suppose that's the question I do have to ask there. I did have another one, but just when you just said that, to the point of a lot of at the moment, a lot of talk in relation to the supply chain and construction materials and prices getting higher for everyone, but also being able to obtain those materials. What do you actually see within that at the moment? It doesn't have to be specific to Walls, but what are you experiencing with that and the challenges that the company is facing?
Yeah, look, we're certainly seeing delays and longer lead times on items, procured items, but our clients are very much aware of that as well. So they've been working well with us, on those issues. And as I said, it's not certainly not just us who's experiencing that. So I think... by and large, our clients have been very, very responsive, and where possible, we'll place the orders as soon as we can. Price rises are tricky. We're certainly seeing steel prices, have continued to go up, and that is a challenge. But once again, it's something our client recognises.
With 2018, you came in as CEO, and probably within less than 2 years, COVID did hit. What was the experience for you personally with that and the challenges that it did impose you, for yourself and working with the company?
I'm not going to lie. It was a little bit scary when it first hit. We were actually overseas in America at the time when it first hit. So the first thing we had to do was quarantine for a couple of weeks when we got back.
Probably gave you a break.
No, I spent a lot of time on the phone. Okay. And I'm very fortunate I've got a good relationship with our owner, Cole Wiles, and, Cole was instrumental in helping us, get through that and provide some advice during that time. As I said, also our clients were really good. They were very much focused on continuing operations, continuing projects where possible. And, at that point, a lot of our work was in the Central Queensland region, and the regions were in Central Queensland were very fortunate, for the first sort of 12 to 18 months, particularly Gladstone. It took quite a while before Gladstone had a confirmed case in reality. So, yeah, we were very fortunate with where our work was located and with the clients we had.
So, okay, then, in regard to, again, back to yourself, the challenges for many CEOs, I've asked quite a few over the years, how do you sleep at night in relation to, without waking up and keeping awake and, you've got a lot of responsibilities. How do you remain yourself sort of positive and to get through that now? I gather that you've had a lot of training to be able to do so as well and a lot of experience over the years. But, of course, you're handling quite a big company. And some, stresses and some strong pressures put in place. Personally, what do you do?
Yeah, well, look, I've got two young kids, Kieran, so I definitely don't meditate for half an hour in the mornings like some CEOs do. I don't have that luxury. But, I guess I'm a relatively optimistic person, and I like to think, I live by the motto, you can't change the past, and, you can only influence the future. So you know, it's easy to say it, but I do try and live by that. And really, I have trust in our team because I recognise them. You know, I'm absolutely only one person, and I have to have trust in our whole team at Wales. And so I think that those couple of things are probably the key for me. It certainly can be challenging at times, depending what's going on. But they're the things I guess I remind myself. And once again, I talk to Cole, you know, a lot, and Cole is a very calming influence. He's a highly experienced businessman. He's been, you know, in the game a long, long time, and certainly he's a calming influence when there's a few challenges around. And so I certainly, you know, rely on Cole's advice and his knowledge in the sector and with business in general. So that's probably the other item I go to, the other spot.
And I also like to ask, you know, what do you do to relax yourself? How do you clear your mind and relax yourself? Have you got any, do you go running? Do you do exercise? Do you paint? Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, no, I usually go to the gym in the mornings. So, my wife and I we're usually pretty good. So we normally, I'll go first sort of 5 o'clock, 5:15, and then I'll come home and then switch with tag team, my wife, and then she'll go straight after. So we normally do train, Monday to Friday at least. And that certainly keeps me sane. When I'm traveling, that's when it gets a little bit more challenging, and that's something that I've got to work on, I guess. But when I'm in Brisbane, that's certainly that's the thing that keeps me sane. Just a bit of a 45-minute gym session in the mornings.
Okay, we're moving into, as you know, with coal and the transition at the moment within to the renewable sector and so forth. And, of course, as we know, coal's still going to be around for a little while, but things are moving, I don't know, you could call it slowly, quickly, or too fast in relation to the renewable sector. Of course, we've got hydrogen coming in as well. What's your thoughts on the renewable sector, and I mean in relation to Wales' contribution to that sector?
Yeah, so obviously Wales at current has a number of coal clients, and coal is a relatively large part of what we do at present. But yeah, we're certainly aware of, I guess, the challenges that lie ahead for that sector. Albeit, I think it's still got some years to run. I mean, being located in Gladstone and also setting up a workshop now in Mackay, I think we're positioned in a really, really good space to take on this renewables. I think, you know, it's Gladstone will play a key part in that, particularly hopefully for the hydrogen, and we see some real opportunities there for Wales with hydrogen and probably also some of the other, what I'd call the renewable metals, I guess. So, yep. You know, copper, nickel, cobalt, tin.
They are sectors that are growing, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, vanadium, there's a number of vanadium deposits in Queensland. So I think our location and our past experience and our capabilities, they're the areas we're focusing on the renewables side, probably less so on the solar and the wind and that side. More on the metals and also, fingers crossed, hydrogen.
So what do you see there in relation to the metals? As you said, new minerals and so forth, but of course they're minerals that have been around for a long time, but it's sort of in a way, well, it hasn't really been called a rebirth, but there's been a stronger push towards them and the use of those metals. So where do you see that? If Wales are having a look at that, that's part of the future planning, I would guess.
Yeah, that's right, Kieran. And I think if everyone's serious about the net zero targets that set, then they have to play a key part. And, you know, copper's obviously right up there, and the copper price is very high at present. And so I'd like to think there's going to be some more investment in the copper mines. And then some of these, I guess, maybe further opportunities down the track. Vanadium is something that we've, you know, had a look at a couple of projects now. And then also hydrogen, we've it's only sort of feasibility budget style pricing, but we've certainly been involved in some, you know, very early tendering on hydrogen projects as well. So, they're probably the key. In terms of timeframes, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how far away it is, but I think what we take comfort in is our existing exposure around alumina and coal largely, you know, I don't think it's going anywhere just yet.
Okay, well, so what is the, I was going to ask a question just in relation to what's unique in relation to the Wales Group? Is there something out there at the moment that you can tell us that is a little bit unique to the sector, maybe something different that Wales is doing?
Oh, look, I think, you know, our key point of difference, and it has been for a long time, is our people. And, you know, we had an event a couple of months ago now where it was the 10-year club, and essentially what that was, it was a night to recognise our long-term staff. And the criteria was simply, you know, current employees who have provided, you know, greater than 10-year service with the business. And you know, we had 49 people, you know, in a workforce of around 300 qualify for that event. So I think that speaks volumes of the loyalty and the knowledge our staff have. I think 17 or 18 of those have actually been with the company longer than 20 years. So I think we have a lot of knowledge, a lot of skill. We have a very skilled workforce, and we have a loyal and dedicated workforce. So I think that for me is the big point of difference. The other point of difference, if you're a Gladstone local, you probably may have noticed is we own a lot of our own equipment. Well, so we've got a lot of cranes going around, a lot of EWPs, and a lot of our own Wiles equipment, which gives us an edge on occasions as well.
Okay, finally, we're just about to wrap up the podcast, but can you tell us what the next big project is for Wiles?
So I can say this now. It's we've just signed the contract. I wasn't sure if I could, but no, we've just signed a contract with Rio Tinto Yarwun, actually. And it's following on from our current contract. So it's stage two of the precipitation tanks.
Yep.
So that will be rectification works on 22 precipitation tanks at Rio Tinto's Yarwun Alumina Refinery. So that's a really good project for Wiles. It's a milestone, actually. It's a 2.5-year project. So it provides us with a steady flow of work for the next 2.5 years and probably provides, you know, full-time employment for upwards of 45 Gladstone locals, which is great to see. So that was, we signed that last week. So that was a very exciting day for the business.
Well, congratulations on that contract. So if people do want to get a hold of Wiles, how can they do that?
Probably our website, or we've got some online platforms as well, LinkedIn and Facebook, the social media platforms. But I'd say our website or our direct phone lines is probably the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Okay, Matthew. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Much appreciated, and all the best with Wiles in the future.
Thanks, Kieran.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.